Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The lesson today is a continuation of what we started yesterday in trying to answer the question, what is the Christian life? Now, we pointed out that it is important for people to become a Christian because salvation is in Christ. But the Christian life must follow becoming a Christian. It's important that we learn what to do to start, but it is also important to know what to do to continue to be a disciple, a learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we learn that the Christian life is a way that's different. We're peculiar people. We're a set-apart people. We're set apart from our sins. We don't live the life according to the sinful world. And it's a life not only is different, but it can be very costly. And it is a life of faith. We have our faith and confidence in God and in His Word. And we know that God will keep His promises. And we also know that it is a life where we worship God. We have that privilege. God has instructed us in His Word how to worship Him. And the Christian simply does not try to tell God, you accept whatever I do. The Christian simply does what God says to do, to worship Him. But now, note this other characteristic of what it is to be a Christian and the Christian life. The selflessness of the Christian life is rooted in Christian love. Selfishness, of course, I think we all realize, that's a source of so much of this world's problems among human relationships. Now, this is true between nations. It's true in homes. It's true even between brethren. Instead of asking, how does this affect me? What is it for me? The Christian asks, how does this affect others? What is the benefit for others? Even more, the Christian thinks about the Christian living to put to death his pride. He does not try to be self-righteous. He isn't one who is self-exalting, but rather he is a humbled individual that is dependent upon the blessings and the mercies of God. Rather, his life is the giving of oneself to something and to someone who is higher and nobler than he. And to deny self is to set our affections on spiritual things, on heavenly matters. We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, giving the way of Christ priority in life before everything else. You see, the prayer of the Christian is like that of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. That's characteristic of the Christian life. And along this same line, Christian living is bringing self under control. It is to be a disciplined individual. He does not just express himself any way he wants to. He doesn't just live any way he wants to. He doesn't determine his own pattern of life. He follows in the footsteps of Christ, as Peter admonishes us to do. It's refraining from evil and doing what is good. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And James says, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You see, the Christian is a person who has control of his life because he is determined to let it be in the likeness of his Savior. It is a paradox, but the one who gives himself the most is the one who receives the most for himself. And Jesus said, recorded in Acts 20 and verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The one who becomes a servant, and the Christian is a servant, He's going to be the greatest, Luke 22:26. The one who humbles himself. He's the one that's going to be exalted, Luke 14:11. And the one who remembers the Lord is never forgotten. But again, and this is so important and so much in contrast with so much of our world today, Christian living is living a life of purity, moral purity. The Christian is to live in pure religion, James 1:27. He's to keep himself pure, 1 Timothy 5:22. Paul wrote, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us," notice, "that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." Titus 2:11-12. We're not to love the sinful things of the world, 1 John 2:15. James warns that friendship with the world is enmity with God. That's talking about friendship with the sinful things that so characterize this world. And in a world that makes mockery of a pure life, the Christian still dares to be pure in his morals, pure in his speech, pure in thought, pure in his conduct, where he goes, what he does, what he condones, what he allows himself to support, that of which he allows himself to be a part, even his influence. Christianity never requires leaving off anything that's clean and wholesome and pure. And some of the most powerful negative instructions of the Bible have to do with calling upon man to live a life of purity. That's the kind of life the Christian lives. Purity, you see, demands abstinence from all unlawful satisfactions of the sinful flesh. The works of the flesh are not a part of his life, Galatians 5:19 beginning. Purity forbids lying. Purity forbids dishonesty and stealing and adultery. Purity will not allow the drinking of alcoholic beverages or immodest dress or filthy habits or lascivious dancing and such like. You see, purity requires producing the fruit of the Spirit. Again, Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22. It calls for being truthful and honest. It calls for godly living. It calls for being a good example. But the Christian life is also a life of spiritual growth. And if we do not grow, we're going to become spiritually emaciated. We're born into the family of God, and when we are babes in Christ. And just as a newborn babe physically is expected to grow, so must the spiritual babe grow. Now, it's not a shame to be immature unless one has had time and opportunity to grow, but it's shameful, friend, not to be growing, Hebrews 5:12. And how does that growth come? That growth comes by adding the Christ-like virtues to our lives and to our character, well, like the Apostle Peter has described in 1 Peter 1. Peter wrote, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and a brotherly kindness, charity, or love." You see, as Peter tells us, we grow by feeding on spiritual food. He said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and all hypocrisy and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And we grow by spiritual exercise. Paul's wrote, "And exercise thyself unto godliness, For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So you see, the Christian life is a life of Christians expecting to grow. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." We stand in line for rebuke, friend, if we do not grow. And Paul warned there was a time when some ought to have been teachers, but they had become weak. They had need of milk and not of strong meat, and they could have had that if they had only grown as they should had. But you see, the Christian life is not a life of perfection. We don't want to insist that, because we can't be a sinless person. But we have to have a life of faithfulness. What does that mean? That simply means that though at times we may stumble, we will keep on keeping on. The Christian life involves that. The Christian life is characterized by being a spiritual warfare. We fight against evil. We fight for the good. The Christian life becomes a struggle. But eventually, for the Christian, there is peace, there's contentment, there's happiness, there's consolation for all eternity. We, like the Apostle Paul, are to fight the good fight of faith, and war a good warfare, like he admonished Timothy to do, and to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Now sin and Satan are our enemy, and truth and right is our cause. The Christian life, you see, it's much like an oasis in the midst of a desert. The Christian life is a haven from a stormy sea. It's a light in the world of darkness of sin. A calm it is surrounded by tempest, but in time there is certainty and security right in the midst of doubt and confusion. The person who has come to Christ, he is raised from that watery grave of baptism to a new life. His life is to be like that of his Savior. And faithfulness as a Christian, friend, it brings its rewards. Paul said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Faithfulness, that must be a part of living the Christian life. We don't live on again, off again. We stay with the Word and live according to His way each day of our lives the very best that we can. Paul wrote, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. You see, John wrote in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life." Living the Christian life, that's the best life a person can live. That's the life that the Lord blesses. And that's the life that He will be pleased when we leave this life, so we can spend an eternal life with Him in heaven. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.